Here at Emmanuel Church, it is great to welcome you this evening. If you're new to the church, it is particularly good to welcome you. If you came, are you getting a loud, high-pitched sound? I'm getting that too. Are we all right, Ken? We'll get there in the end. If you came as a result of a group of us going around doing carol singing last week, then that's particularly amazing that you're here. But it was a joyful time as we went around, and it is good to welcome you. It's good to welcome Jonathan Fletcher, who is going to be speaking for us this evening. Jonathan retired as vicar of Emmanuel Wimbledon in 2012, having served there for 30 years, and we're really looking forward to Jonathan speaking for us on God's message to the world. The service will proceed mostly unannounced. So when you get to a bit which says carol, do stand and join with singing in that. And if there's a bit that says choir, don't stand unless you're in the choir, in which case do stand. Also to say, if you need toilets or anything like that, do head out the doors that way, and they're that way or that way. I probably also ought to let you know, since it's carols by candlelight, that there are fire exits, and they're where the fire exit signs are. So that way, or if you head out that way, so if you need them. Our service is going to begin with Katie Walden is going to sing the solo for us for Once in Royal David City. Then we're all going to join in. But could we all stand to begin?
In royal David City stood.
Let me introduce the theme of our carol service to you. It is, as I've already said, and as you've seen from the front of the order of service, it is God's message to the world. As we go through the service, there are going to be four Bible readings. Now, I don't know about you at carol services, but I sometimes find that as you get to the Bible readings bit, sometimes they can just wash over you a bit, and you think, oh, I'm not all that sure what that was about. The first of those four Bible readings is from the Old Testament, pointing forward to God sending someone, a promised person who would come. And the three New Testament readings all build up to the birth of Jesus, who is that one that was promised in the Old Testament, the one God sent. And the last reading is the one where there is the announcement to the shepherds by the angels, in which we hear God's message to the world. The words we read and sing this evening are not merely recalling a nice story of 2,000 years ago. If we understand them, they are a challenge to us today. And therefore, as we start our carol service, let's begin with a prayer. Let's just bow our heads to pray. Our Father, as we gather together this evening to sing carols and hear again of the birth of Jesus, would you open our eyes to see the glory of Jesus? Would events that we have heard of many times before move our hearts as if we were present when they first happened? And work in each of us this evening that we would respond to your message to the world. Amen.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay, for Jesus Christ our Saviour was born upon this day, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Rejoiced much in mind, and left their flocks a-feeding in tempest, storm, and wind, and went to Bethlehem straightway his blessed babe to find. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. And into Bethlehem they came, whereat this infant lay. They found him in a manger, where oxen feed on hay. His mother Mary kneeling unto the Lord. Tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, O
prophet Isaiah predicts the peace that Jesus will bring. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of peace, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord.
He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist.
A reading spoke of a majestic figure who would come, one on whom the Spirit of God would rest, and who would be the perfect judge of the world. Our next song, sung by the choir, shows us that the one promised came, was born among us, and was God himself. As the words of the chorus, the translation that you have there, is, the Word became flesh. In other words, it is God who was born on earth. See on the order of service that the next item is an interview. Now, we didn't think that we would do an interview for a job up in front of you with John. That's not that kind of interview. We were just asking John, and I'm very grateful to John, who's a member of our church family here at Emmanuel, how he became a Christian and what difference that makes to him today. So, John, how did you become a Christian?
It all started when I was 8 years old, and I got a Christmas invitation in January. It was from a neighbour who went to a local church, and she offered me a chance to go to a youth group Christmas service in January. And unlike me, I decided to go. There were several things that said, don't go. Firstly, those who know me know I'm not a party animal. I don't like parties that much. Secondly, my parents didn't go to church. And thirdly, when you get there, you don't know what to expect. There are no friends there. And I'd only been to church once, and that was for christening. And it seemed a very strange thing with people booted and suited, and my cousin was being christened, and I didn't understand what was going on. But for some reason, I said, yes, I'll go. And I went to the party in January, and I discovered people were friendly, they were sociable, the food was good, we played games, and I won a prize. I actually remember the book I won. It was Daniel in the Lion's Den, and I still remember it very vividly. I then was told, well, do you want to come along to the youth groups on Sunday mornings and to the youth activities throughout the week? And I said to my parents, I want to go. I want to go along, and I went along for many years. And then when I was 14, the minister, Tim Watson, he said, we're running some courses called confirmation courses. And I'd enjoyed studying the Bible, learning the Bible stories. And I said, okay, I'll come along and see what it's about. And it was there that we went through the Bible systematically, and we looked at what it had to say, and I discovered the Bible was about a person, okay, and a person who wanted a relationship with me, and that person was Jesus. The Bible has in the New Testament the life of Jesus, and he makes some incredible claims, and he does some incredible things, and I found I couldn't just let them lie. I had to respond to those in some way, positively or negatively. And to use C.S. Lewis's trilemma, I had to decide, was Jesus and what he said making him into a liar, a lunatic, or my Lord? And I decided he was my Lord and Saviour, and my life changed from that point onwards.
Brilliant. Now, there could be people here who think, okay, well, being a Christian, that just means being good. What you're saying there, that doesn't fit with that. How would you answer that?
Well, I was thinking one of the things that makes a difference is the way that you live, and the people who know how you live in the real way, in the raw, are your family. And being a Christian is not having a magic wand way that you and suddenly you start to live a perfect life, you do everything right. Being a Christian means about following Jesus and persevering in your walk, trying to live a good life, but realizing that you don't get it right. As I say, my family will bear witness to this. I muck up. My walk isn't steady, isn't sure all the time, and I don't always do and say the right things. But it's the relationship that's key. The good works flow out of that relationship.
Cool. Great, thank you. And so you've touched on there what difference it makes to family life. Is there anything else to add there about family life? What difference it makes being a Christian to you and your family?
I think it shows that I have an incredible gift. God gives us families as gifts, and he gives them as responsibilities. I have a responsibility to live the example life that God wants me to live for my family, to show them what a Christian life should look like. And as I say, I hope I do that well enough. I don't think I do it perfectly, but I hope I do it well enough for them not to be put off.
Brilliant. What about at work? What difference does it make being a Christian there?
I work in a school, and I work in a multicultural and multi-faith environment. And one of my heroes, who you already know, is Daniel, and he worked in a similar environment. Another hero, I teach economics, and the first economics I can find ever is about a guy called Joseph. Remember the Joseph in the book of Genesis? He devised a buffer stock scheme, which is what we economists do, amongst other things. I found that their lives were really quite helpful for my work life, because they lived in a multiracial, multicultural, multi-faith environment, and they couldn't speak freely about their beliefs, but they could live the life that spoke very powerfully, and they could be challenged by people saying, why do you live like this? And they say, I live like this because I walk with God. And that's what I try to do in my teaching career, to walk with God and let my actions speak where my words can't always do that.
Okay, thank you. And what difference does it make in facing change? Because we all have to face changes in our lives.
One of the things that sometimes, again, some people think Christians turn to God because they want to have an insurance policy to get them out of scrapes. They want to have a prosperity plan. What Christianity does is it helps you cope with change, but it doesn't insulate you from change. Many changes that come through life, the joys and the sadnesses, will still come as a Christian. But the difference is that you have someone to walk with you. That's God. God walks with you through those things. He doesn't take them away, but he is there. And you see those things in their true context. When you get frustrated with your family or your career plans or your life plans, you realize that that is not the framework of your life. The framework of your life is walking with God. And these things belong to him.
And what would you say, if there's someone here who isn't yet a Christian, what would you say to them?
I didn't know Bart was going to be running Christianity Explored, but one of the things that I said earlier on, one of the very important things is to look at the claims of Jesus in a clear and systematic way. I was given that opportunity when I was 14, and as I say, it made me face up to the possibility of a relationship. One of the things that I would encourage you to do is look at what Jesus said, what he did, what he claimed about himself, and you can either reject or you can accept, but please don't ignore him.
Great. Thank you very much, Sean. Thank you for being willing to be interviewed. Let's give him a round of applause. I know you often do that in person. Thank you very much.
Thank you. angel Gabriel tells Mary that she will give birth to Jesus.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said,
"Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered,
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born with will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible to God."
"I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Thank you.
us pray. God of every nation and people, from the beginning of creation you have made known your love through the gift of your Son, who bears the name Emmanuel, God with us. In the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came to be the good news to all humankind. Emmanuel, God lives with us as one of us. Christ, the Word made flesh, has come to us as a vulnerable, weak and dependent baby, a God who hungered and thirsted and longed for human touch and affection, a God who chose to be born in obscurity and shame, to a virgin, an unmarried maiden, with a dirty stable as a home and a borrowed manger as a bed, in a tiny, insignificant town called Bethlehem. O Almighty God, Christ, the Messiah, whom the prophets foretold, you were born at a time and in a place where few welcomed you or even recognized you. Have we too lost a sense of joy and anticipation in what the Christ child may bring? Have we been preoccupied with endless activities, distracted by the tinsel, decorations and gifts? Busy preparing for the birth of Christ, so busy that there's no room in our cluttered lives to welcome him when he comes. God, grant us the grace to be patient and vigilant in watching, waiting, and listening attentively so that we won't miss Jesus when he comes knocking at our door. Remove whatever hinders us from receiving the gifts which the Saviour brings. Joy, peace, justice, mercy, love, and hope. These are the gifts we are to share with the downtrodden, the oppressed, the outcasts, the weak, and the defenseless. Jesus, you are the hope of all peoples, the wisdom who teaches and guides us, the wonderful counselor who encourages and consoles, the Prince of Peace, who calms our troubled minds and restless spirits, granting us true inner peace. Jesus, you who are the radiant dawn, shine on those whose lives are in darkness and in shadows. Dispel fears, anxieties, and insecurities. Restore hearts that have grown cold and distant. Enlighten minds that have become darkened through greed, anger, hatred, and bitterness.
Dear Lord, we remember the persecuted church, those who are suffering for their faith. May their faith be strengthened as they celebrate Jesus Christ coming to earth and suffering as they suffer, and so know that he is walking with them every moment of the day, bringing them courage and hope. Lord, we bring before you those who are suffering because of ISIL, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, and other terrorist groups. We especially remember the tragedies in Pakistan and Australia this past week. Please comfort the families of those who've been killed or injured. May these incidents cause people to question their own beliefs and lifestyles and seek your love and mercy, so that out of physical death and suffering will come spiritual life and eternal peace and joy. We remember those who are living in the shadows of a marginal existence. We pray for the homeless, jobless, and those struggling to keep their lives together. We lift up families, especially the children who may not experience the joy of Christmas celebrations this season. We pray for those living alone, the widowed, the orphans, the elderly, the sick and bedridden, and the migrant workers for whom Christmas may hold no special significance. We also remember those we know personally that are finding life difficult because of illness, circumstances, or bereavement. May they turn to you for their comfort, strength, and hope. And know, Lord, that you are with them, caring and sharing in their pain. You who are the light of the world, help us to radiate the warmth of your presence. Enable us to give of ourselves generously and compassionately in bringing joy, peace, and hope to others.
Lord Jesus, this Christmas, as we sing the familiar carols, hear the familiar readings, and ponder on familiar mysteries, please give us the gift of heartfelt worship, that ability which Mary had of attributing to you your true worth and greatness. Teach us to be thankful as we think of your goodness to us, that you have come to be the light in our darkness, the hope in our despair, the strength in our weakness, the shelter in the storm, and yes, our Saviour. You are indeed Emmanuel, God with us, and we bring our petitions to you in confidence and in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Well, having just heard about the account of Jesus' birth, we're going to sing Joy Has Dawned. This song may be unfamiliar to you, although it's easy to pick up. It's a modern carol written in the last 10 years. It explains not only the events of Jesus' birth, but that he came that we might be reconciled to God. So let's stand to sing. God's message to the world. We went out into Kingston and we asked people, what if they could have a message for the world in one sentence, what that message would be? And this is the result. Thank you. one sentence, what would be your message to the world?
Be happy. Simple as that. Be happy.
Just peace. Peace in the world, yeah.
That's everywhere. What we want. Yeah. Everywhere.
Keep going on, peaceful on the world. Let's try to do our best if we can.
Peace. Peace, because I don't like the people are too aggressive. In London is better in UK because I come from Hungary, and only peace I want.
But peace and try to get on with each other. At this hour, it's a lovely day.
Peace and goodwill, yeah. That's it.
Have I got more time to think about it?
Peace and happiness.
Oh, I can't think of anything. I'm sorry. I'm really...
That's all right. The most easiest thing that comes in my mind is peace, because there is a lot of war going on and a lot of violence and everything. So peace is the word for me.
Peace. That will be message everywhere.
Spread the love. God bless.
Chill out. Don't kill anybody else. Live life peacefully.
Merry Christmas for everybody.
Peace, justice, tranquility.
Chill out.
Bring peace to the world.
Stop the war and just get together, all religions come together and just be happy next to each other, especially for this Christmas. Try it.
Oh, man.
Living and loving God.
Peace, love, and no more war, please.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Peace is important.
Yeah.
Be polite and smile. And stop being so angry with everybody.
Stop killing each other. That's what I'd say. Too many innocent deaths and not enough justice.
And to stop fighting and to be kind to each other and not take religion so seriously.
the shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid.
I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been sent for you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they had spread the word concerning what had been told about them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you very much indeed for the opportunity of being with you for your carol service. I love carol services. I was at one in Singapore last Sunday, and I was at another one this morning. I can't really have too many. Christmas, though, is quite confusing for some people. Some of the carols contradict each other. We had this evening tears and smiles he knew, so he knew about tears. But then another carol says, "No crying he makes." My little nephew, he was quite young at the time, he was asked whether he knew the names of any angels. And he said, "Yes, I know the names of two, Gabriel and Hark, the herald angel." So some people treat it slightly badly. There was a grandmother who used to give checks to all her grandchildren at Christmas, and she never got any thank you letters.
So she did the same another Christmas and got masses of thank you letters because she hadn't signed the checks. So they all came and said thank you. The trouble about Christmas is it tends to be prettified, and it takes on the aspects of a fairy story. But there are a number of ways in which it's completely different from a fairy story. Fairy stories aren't true, and this is true. The account that we've just had from Luke comes from someone who is a meticulous historian, getting the facts absolutely right. And yet he includes the supernatural. You can't remove the supernatural from Christmas. We said it was remarkable, didn't we, a number of years ago when man went to the moon. But it's much more remarkable that God came to earth. That is the grand miracle, God coming to earth. Fairy stories tend to be escapist. Just before the lights go out, we tell the children a fairy story, a wonderland, with the flying carpets and magic lanterns and so on. And yet Christmas should bring us to realism rather than escapism. And fairy stories always have a happy ending. The giant falls down and breaks his neck. The prince gets the gorgeous princess. But this story didn't have a happy ending for everybody. So what is the message for the world? And it is this word, peace, which came again and again, didn't it, in that video. And it's not actually peace man with man. That hasn't happened and won't happen in this world till the Lord Jesus comes again. It is true that the closer people get to God, like the spokes of a wheel, the more they'll come close to one another. But we're not promised peace on earth with one another in this world. And it's not even inner peace. It is peace with God. And I want to try and spell out why this is such very good news. It's very good news because of the enmity that naturally we have with God. Christmas, we tried to escape from lots of things. And, you know, in the middle of a dreary English winter, we have a bright festival with lights and so on. But we also try to escape from what we're like. So for a few days, we become very, very generous. I'm a bachelor, but I've got lots of nephews, and at Christmas time, they become a sort of charity to which I give. You know, just for a few days, I'm a wonderfully generous uncle. But that's escapism. And yet Christianity encourages us, and Christmas encourages us, to be realistic. I don't know whether you've pondered on the fact that the angel came to shepherds. Shepherds didn't have a bad reputation, I'm afraid. They had this problem of confusing thine and mine. And I suppose this is a bit unfair, but they had the sort of reputation that some travellers have today. And yet it was to shepherds, a rather despised class, that the angels came. The Christmas text that people don't really like, but it's the most succinct one, I think, in the New Testament, is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There was once a church that had a notice board outside, again, the whole length of the church, which said, "For sinners only." And some people stopped going to that church. But Christ Jesus came into the world for sinners. A carol service is for sinners. It's not primary for children or for family. Though that's a wonderful time for families and children. But it is actually for sinners. Will you imagine a ship sailing along, and on the bridge there's the captain, the first mate, and they're really very nice indeed. And then a little lower down there's the midshipman, average like most of us. And then below decks they're pretty unpleasant. And you look up to see what flag the ship is flying under. And it's the Skull and Crossbones. It's a pirate ship. And the fact that some people are nicer than others is actually irrelevant. There is no spiritual Switzerland. There's no place of benevolent neutrality. And naturally, we have to face up to the fact that naturally we are enemies with God. And therefore, the prospect of peace is fantastic. A number of years ago, a book came out, Peace with God. It was a bestseller. So it's great news of peace because of the serious situation we're in. It's also good news when you realize what that peace cost. You see, in our passage, it says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. That implies that we need rescuing. The church where I worked, I had a friend of ours at the church, really, who used to produce a fantastic Christmas card, bringing Christmas and Good Friday together. Last year, Arsene Wenger said that Christmas is important, Easter is decisive. That was because at Christmas, Arsenal were top of the table, but he knew that actually at Easter time it might be rather different. But his point was right. Christmas is important, but it's Easter that is decisive. And these Christmas cards, well, last year it was a whole lot of mince pies, but in the middle, a hot cross bun. This year, it's the baby in the manger, and kneeling before the manger, there are three donkeys with the crosses on their back. And isn't it remarkable that a number of people on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day want to go to a communion service? Do you think that's very strange? About to celebrate the birthday of our founder, and yet they want to go to a service that commemorates his death. And that is exactly right. You cannot separate the two. You and I were born to live. Jesus came to die. When he was born, there was brightness at midnight. When he died, there was darkness at noon. Do you know the story of the Tatar general Shamil, who used to go on his campaigns, taking his family with him? And it transpired that somebody in his army was leaking secrets to the enemy. So he decreed that when the culprit was found, they would be whipped and lashed. And the culprit was found. It was his mother. He shut himself up in his tent. He wasn't seen for 24 hours, but they could hear what was happening. He was lashing and whipping himself. And that's what the Lord Jesus did when he died on the cross. Was there a price to be paid? He paid it. That's why we call him the Redeemer. Was there a penalty to be borne? He bore it. Was there an estrangement to be undergone? He endured it. Isaiah, pointing ahead, said the punishment that brought us peace was laid on him. It was only because he was prepared to die that we can have peace. It's very important, isn't it? We've been thinking about this a lot with the centenary of the First World War and the tremendous cost it was to bring about peace after four terrible years. Well, it was a terrible cost that the Lord Jesus had to pay for us to have peace with God. I was reading in my study this morning the last few verses of Micah, where it says that our sins he's going to cast into the depths of the sea. That is, they're given the Egyptian treatment. Do you remember when the Hebrews left Egypt? They crossed the Red Sea safely, and then the Egyptian came, and they were drowned. And it's the same phrase. That's what can happen to our sins because the Lord Jesus bore the penalty which brought us peace. And then lastly, it's very good news when we accept this peace for ourselves. That's what the shepherds did. This rather despised group. They were the first to hear. They were the first to see. They were the first to tell. So they went back with the great news to others. In Matthew's gospel, it's the wise men. Bruegel's picture of the adoration is spectacular. It has the baby center stage. And then the wise men who are worshipping him are very clearly of different races, one from Africa, one from China, one from Europe, just making the point that it is for all. And they received him. A little later, in the temple, 12 days later, very unusually, a man steps forward and says, "Can I hold your baby?" It's usually a woman who says that, but here's a man. And he said, "Today, I have seen your salvation. Let your servant depart in peace." Simeon received it personally, as did Anna. But others didn't. The innkeeper was too busy, too preoccupied. Herod was too threatened. Do you know the story of George Wilson? George Wilson was a criminal and was sentenced to death in the United States a couple of centuries ago. And President Andrew Jackson offered him a presidential pardon, which George Wilson refused. They took the case to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court decided that a pardon, to be effective, has to be received. He didn't receive it, so he was executed. Now, our prayer is that up and down this country, when hundreds and thousands are gathered for carol services, which is terrific. Carol services are wonderful. Our prayer is that it's not just a wonderful time of hearing the old story and of singing these great hymns, but that people receive this personally for themselves. When I was first ordained, I had a little maisonette. This is in Cock Foster's, end of the Piccadilly line. And from where I sat at my study desk, I could see people coming up the drive to my front door. And if there was somebody there that I didn't like the look of, I hid under the desk. And they'd ring the bell, knock the door, and then they'd look through the windows. They couldn't see me. They'd go away. Other times, I missed them, and the bell would go, and somebody would knock the door. And I went to the door. There was somebody. Didn't really want to have in, so we just talked on the doorstep till they left. And then other times, the bell would go, somebody would knock the door. "Come in, come in, come in." Now, I think it's very unlikely that there are people here tonight who are hiding under the desk, so to speak, from the Lord Jesus. But it may be so that there are some people who are just talking to him on the doorstep. And it isn't yet personal and real. And it would be wonderful, as it was with John, as we heard his testimony, when we make this step of accepting it for ourselves in a personal way. And then it is indeed tremendous good news. Peace with God. Peace, so important, because naturally we're enemies. There's no spiritual Switzerland, no place of benevolent neutrality. Peace, because it was purchased at a terrific price. You and I came into the world to live. He came to die on the cross. And it is wonderful when we receive it personally. I'm going to close with a prayer, so can we bow our heads? First, a moment of silence. Many, many people here just giving great thanks that they know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, and therefore know this peace with God. Others, possibly angry, possibly confused, but committing themselves to study further, to find out whether these things are true or not. If they are, they're the most important things in the world. And then a prayer, who wants, for someone who wants not to delay it, but even tonight at this carol service, to experience this peace. Lord Jesus Christ, I acknowledge that I have been an enemy and I've treated you badly, and I'm sorry. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for coming into the world so that by your wounds I might have peace. Lord Jesus, please be my Lord, my Saviour, this Christmastide. Amen. Just a moment of injury time. There's a very helpful leaflets at the back. So especially if you're thinking it over, or if you've prayed a prayer like that, do help yourself or ask Bart or others for further information and clarification. But may I wish you all a wonderfully happy, peaceful Christmas. Thank you so much.
Have a seat. Well, thank you for being with us this evening. Please do stay around. There'll be mulled wine and mince pies, and you're welcome to join us for that. I would think that there would be some here, maybe for whom that message that Jonathan spoke particularly struck home. If you would like to do so, Jonathan mentioned, do grab one of these. The Real Christmas. They're available at the back. They're free. Please take one of them. They explain a bit more about Jesus and the forgiveness we can have through him. Do grab Jonathan or myself after the service. If you want to ask us questions, if you want to find out more, please do speak to us. There's Christianity Explored. That's a course that we're going to run in the new year. We run that. It's a free course, and you can come along and ask your questions about Jesus, and you can find out more about him. And do come along to our other Christmas services. 3:30 on Christmas Eve, we've got our crib service. Great for the younger children. So that's sort of preschool and the first few years of primary school. But hey, come along if you want to come along. On Christmas Day, 10:30 in the morning, and any Sunday, 10:30. You don't have to be a Christian to come to church. You're welcome, whoever you are. If you're just exploring about Jesus, come along, do. And next year is Emmanuel Church's 80th birthday year. And we've got various events going on in the year, lots of fun events that'll be happening. We've got a fun run, we've got a meal at a local restaurant with a speaker, and so on. Look out for those events and do join us next year for some of those events as we celebrate 80 years of Emmanuel Church. As we close our service, let's pray. We give you thanks, our Father, that you sent your Son, born in Bethlehem, to bring us peace. Open our eyes that we might see the radiance of his glory. Open our hearts that we might respond to his self-sacrificing love. And change our lives that we might put aside the things of this world and live for you, our great God and King. Amen. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those we love this Christmas and forever. Amen.